To our God and Father be glory forever and ever. Amen. Dear brothers and sisters in Christ, during my years of training to become a pastor, there was one time my classmates and I had an assignment where we had to come up with our own version of a Christian creed. We were not allowed to simply copy the Apostles' Creed and change a word here and there. We had to come up with a completely original creed that no one has ever used. And while my classmates and I were trying to do this assignment, we quickly realized that we couldn't come up with a creed that's better than the creeds that we use in our worship services. And that was the whole point of the assignment. We weren't even graded on it. The whole point was to make us grow in our appreciation for the creeds that we use in our worship services. And what a beauty our creeds are that we use. Our creeds are so simple that they're easy to understand and memorize. But when you really look at the Apostles' Creed or the Nicene Creed, you realize there's a lot of meaning packed into just a few simple words. For instance, this evening we are focusing on just the first article of the Apostles' Creed, which says, I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth. At first glance, you might think that this simply says God is all-powerful and that he has created everything. But there's a lot more to it than just that. And that's the beauty of Martin Luther's explanation of the first article. Now, it doesn't mean that what Luther wrote, he was inspired by God. But what he wrote accurately reflects what Scripture teaches about God our Father. And so as we look at everything that Luther wrote and explain the first article, may this make us grow in our appreciation and thanksgiving of God our Father. First, Luther says, I believe that God created me and all that exists. Here we see the doctrine of creation. And Scripture clearly teaches that God created everything in the universe in 6 literal 24-hour days. And God created everything simply by using his word. God said, let there be, and there it was. Scripture reveals to us how everything was created. But you know that there is another teaching out there that explains how everything came into being. In fact, if you used Google at all these past 2 days, you would have noticed that on their front page, they dedicated it to this teaching. And it's the teaching of evolution. Evolution teaches that everything came into existence after the Big Bang. And after billions of years, the earth slowly formed. And after millions upon millions of years, life just randomly started, and we have evolved over time to the point that we are now here. The teaching of evolution is completely contrary to the teaching of creation. And yet a lot of people gravitate to the teaching of evolution because they believe that science has proven evolution to be true, and this brings them much comfort. And although we can't literally prove to people that God created the world in 6 days because we were not there, and even Scripture says it is by faith that we believe this, but even though we can't prove it true, just look at the comfort that creation brings that evolution cannot offer. When you really look at what evolution teaches, it says we all came into existence merely by chance, and we have no special purpose in life. According to evolution, we literally mean nothing. in the grand scheme of things. But the comfort of creation shows us that the reason that we and everything exists is because God created us according to a specific plan. He made us the crown of His creation, and He has given us a purpose in life, which is to love and serve Him forever. According to creation, we literally mean everything to God. We mean so much to Him that He was willing to suffer and die for us in order to save us. That's how much we mean to God. But not only has God created us in everything, just look at how wonderfully God has made us. He gave me my body and soul, eyes, ears, and all my members, my mind, and all my abilities. When we think about the beauty of God's creation, we tend to look at nature, whether it's the stars in the skies, or the mountains, or the deep oceans. And certainly you see the beauty of God's creation in those things. But you can also see the beauty of God's creation by simply looking at your body. Just think about how complex our bodies are. The complexity of our eyes to see, the complexity of our ears to hear, the complexity of our arms and our legs that we can move our fingers and wiggle our toes. Just looking at how complex our bodies are, do you really think that all happened by chance? No way. It just proves to you the power and the wisdom that God has when He made us. But not only has He given us our eyes and our ears and all of our members, He has also given us our mind and all of our abilities. Unlike the rest of nature that acts purely on instinct, God has given us our minds so that we can learn and study and figure things out. And there are other things that just come naturally to us because of the abilities that God has given us. Some of us have the ability to be musically gifted. Some of us have the ability to be very mechanical and can build things. Some of us have the ability to understand people and to relate to them. We all have different abilities from God. It is true when Scripture says we are fearfully and wonderfully made. But the fact that we are fearfully and wonderfully made is not the only thing that God does for us in His creation. When you create something, when you build something, you take care of it. You provide for it. And that's exactly what God does for us. I believe that God still preserves me by richly and daily providing clothing and shoes, food and drink, property and home, spouse and children, land, cattle, and all I own, and all I need to keep my body and life. Since God has created everything, everything belongs to God. But God does not keep everything from us. Instead, God freely gives everything to us. Just look at everything that you have. Look at the abundance of what God has given you. You have many clothes and shoes. You have much food and drink in your kitchens. You have a house that shelters you and keeps you warm. You have cattle and land to take care of. And for most of you, God has blessed you with a spouse and children. God certainly blesses us, and He provides us daily with everything that we need. This should move us to grow in our appreciation and thanksgiving of God our Father. But because of our sinful nature, we tend to only grow in our appreciation and thanksgiving of ourselves. when we look at all the clothing and shoes, the food and drink, property and a home, spouse and children, land, cattle, and all that we own, we tend not always to thank God for those things, do we? We tend to only thank ourselves. After all, we are the ones who worked hard for everything that we have. We are the ones that have budgeted our money so that we can buy the things that we want. And God's not the one who pays the bills for clothing, bills for the groceries, bills for the homes, and bills and insurance policies for our children. And so in the end, we end up saying exactly what our Old Testament lesson told us not to say. My power and the strength of my hands have produced this wealth for me. How dare we ever say that? It is God who has given us the strength and the power of our hands. It is God who has blessed us with jobs so that we can make money. It is God who gives us everything that we could want. Our appreciation and thanksgiving should be totally focused on God. But we don't always do that. And do not think that just one day throughout the year of thanking God is good enough. We should thank Him each and every day. But we do not do that. Therefore, God should strip away and take everything that we have. God should allow things to happen in our lives that leaves us naked, homeless, hungry, thirsty, and all alone. But God does not do that to us. Instead, this is what God does. God also preserves me by defending me against all danger, guarding and protecting me from all evil. All this God does only because He is my good and merciful Father in heaven, and not because I have earned or deserved it. The only thing that we have earned and deserved is for God to take everything that we have. But God does not do that to us, because He is our good and merciful Father in heaven. He loves us in Christ and what He has done for us. So not only should we grow in our appreciation and thanksgiving for everything that God gives to us, we should also grow in our appreciation and thanksgiving for everything that God keeps away from us. God guards and protects us from all danger. We don't even know how many times Satan wanted to bring harm and danger into our lives. But God did not allow that to happen. He protected us from that danger and that evil. And God has even assured you that He has commanded His angels concerning us to guard us in all of our ways. But what about those times when danger and evil does happen in our lives? What about those times when we don't have an abundance of clothing and shoes and food and drink? What about those times that we lose our homes, our spouse, or even our children? Does that mean that God no longer cares about us? Does that mean that God no longer is guarding and protecting us from all danger? No, God is always guarding and keeping you from all danger and harm. If God were not doing this for just one second, Satan would bring so much harm and evil into your life. He protects you. And when it comes to those sufferings, those troubles, those hardships that God does allow and bring into your life, our Heavenly Father assures us that He is still protecting us from all evil. He has promised to you that even when He is disciplining you, it is for your good. He promises that in all things, He works for the good of those who love Him. Therefore, when there is danger and evil in your life, turn to God in repentance and trust that He will guard and protect you. To illustrate this point, I want you to think of Job from the Old Testament. Job had everything that a person could want. Job was very wealthy. He had many children. He had good health. And Scripture even tells us that Job was a blameless and upright man, for he believed in God and offered up sacrifices to God regularly. But then very quickly, Job lost everything. He lost his great wealth. He lost each and every child. He lost his good health. To the observer, they must have thought God was punishing Job and that God was no longer protecting and guarding Job from danger. But that's not the case. We hear in Scripture of how God limited what Satan could do to Job. God was still protecting Job from danger. And when it came to the danger and the harm that came to Job, eventually Job questioned God. He said things he shouldn't have said. And so God finally confronted Job and he said to him, "Who are you to question me? I am the one who has created everything. I am the one who preserves everything. How dare you question me, Job?" And when Job heard this, he confessed, "I spoke of things I did not understand. Therefore, I despise myself and repent." And after Job did this, God blessed him even more than what he blessed him with before. Job had greater riches. He had more children. He regained his health and lived a long life. And in response to this, Job thanked and praised God. And that's the very last thing that Luther brings out in his explanation of the first article. He says, "For all this I ought to thank and praise, to serve and obey him. Let us not forget about our God, but always thank him for what he has given us. Let us praise our God and praise him before others. Let us serve and obey our God out of love for him. For it is God our Father who has created us and given us our bodies. For it is God our Father who richly provides for us each and every day. For it is God our Father who protects us from all danger and promises that everything will turn out for our good. Knowing this will make you grow in your appreciation and thanksgiving of our Father. For all of this is most certainly true. Amen." Please rise. And the peace of God will transcend your hearts and your minds by keeping you in faith through Christ Jesus our Lord. We now confess our Christian faith by using Luther's explanation to the first article. "I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth." What does this mean? "I believe that God created me and all that exists, and that he gave me my body and soul, eyes, ears, and all my members, my mind and all my abilities. And I believe that God still preserves me by richly and daily providing clothing and shoes, food and drink, property and home, spouse and children, land, cattle, and all I own, and all that I need to keep my body in life. God also preserves me by defending me against all danger, guarding and protecting me from all evil. All this God does only because he is my good and merciful Father in heaven, and not because I have earned or deserved it. For all this I ought to thank and praise, to serve and obey him. This is most certainly true." You may be seated for the offering, and during the offering, please sign the friendship register in your pew.